You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
Today?
Oh, it's going pretty good. I spent my entire afternoon trying to put together some Wayfair purchase of my wife. So, it's starting to look like what it's supposed to look like, so that's probably a good thing.
Is that like similar to IKEA in the setup or a little more difficult?
Yeah, it's similar to IKEA, but with seemingly way more parts. So, like, I think there's 63 steps in the instruction booklet.
Have you had the meltdown? I know whenever I make something, it's like I go in confidence, there's a bit of a meltdown, I take a break, and then I come back and finish it. Have you had that step in there?
No, only... So to me, for my way of doing it is you can tell how bad you screw up by how many step backwards you have to take when you find your error.
Yeah.
Right. So I put this thing together and there's this one piece that's upside down. So there's no place for the screws to go. And I'm like, oh, man. But I only had to go back like two steps, take a couple things apart. So I think that's pretty good. Like,
yeah.
I take that every day. I didn't have to disassemble the entire desk. So that was all right.
That's the worst. And it's like the first step and you go all the way back. Spec, it's the middle of summer. So random topics come up on the show here. And I don't even know how we got into it. But we talked about movies or TV shows that have made you tear up a little bit. Anything stand out to you? We're getting Armageddon. Rudy is another popular one.
Made me tear up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I don't have a lot of ones that make me tear up. Like, I never cried watching Rudy. You know, I'm more of a, like, the only ones that make me or cry are ones like Hostel that just scare the crap out of me so bad.
Yeah.
I don't cry, but I want to cry.
See, I'm kind of like, for me, those movies don't get me too upset. But then as soon as you show me like a Make-A-Wish video, a real life story, that's the ones that get me. Yeah. So like I get people say, yeah, I have no, I don't know, soul or whatever. I'm like, no, when I get to the real life stuff, that will get me. But when it comes to TV shows, movies, as of yet, maybe that changes in time. But right now, that stuff doesn't get me.
You know, that old oil change thing they did, remember that?
Yeah.
Back in the Taylor Hall days, that made me cry because it never changed, right? It was oil change, and we watched it year after year, and it was the same every year. They kept losing, and they kept missing the playoffs, so that kind of made me cry a little bit for the poor people that had to make it.
Could have just called it oil. Yeah, change maybe wasn't necessary in that title as it didn't happen. Too bad it didn't run till Connor McDavid. Maybe that's what they needed to keep it going,
oh
give
God.
It a little more life. Spec, let's talk a little bit about the Toronto Blue Jays today. And, you know, obviously not ideal. They fall 2-1 to the Pirates, lose 2 of 3. Tommy Pham, of course, gets the 2 RBIs in that one. I wish they could have plunked him, but he did some damage in the first inning. But now they turn their attention to the Miami Marlins, and some good news, Shane Bieber going to make his debut for the club after coming over at the trade deadline. Tommy John surgery, obviously, you know, technology has improved so much. Do you think there should be any concern for his usage? Obviously, they're not going to rush him back, but it's a pretty major surgery.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, I'm like, so many guys have done it and have rehabbed it and have come back and been absolutely fine. Many of them better, right? Many of them say their arm feels better after Tommy John. So my point would be this, Connor, whatever the rehab process is, like however many pitches he gets to throw, you know, however long it has to be before he can go from, say, 60 pitches to 80 to 100, that stuff's all been figured out a long time ago. It's a manual. Like, I think you walk out of Frank Job's office or whoever's doing those surgeries now with a manual and says, here's what you do to get back to being a big league pitcher. So I'd like to know if he's got a pitch count when he starts on Friday night. I haven't heard John Schneider talk about it. But if the manual from the Tommy John people says he can't throw 100 pitches yet, then he can't throw 100 pitches yet. There's no more to learn about Tommy John surgery than what we've learned already.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I mean, the blueprint is there for him. And, you know, with what he can do, you're obviously going to be cautious. And I'm excited to see what he can do going from Buffalo, where he looked very good, to up to the majors. And whatever it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really good decision. And, you know, I think it's going to pay off for the Blue Jays once they get going here. Any other races right now in the, you know, wild card that you're kind of paying attention to as the season starts to wind down?
Well, I do. I got to say, you know, I'm a Cubs guy. Milwaukee's impressing the hell out of me.
Yeah. Like,
there's a small market team that doesn't have the money that's beaten up on everybody. They're the best team in baseball, I believe, right now. And, yeah, I love to see the little guy have a run like that. Like, you know, I just think that's cool. I love to see him stick it to all the big boys. I'm quite interested in the NL West. You know, San Diego and the Dodgers are going back and forth there for sure. There's some good teams in the NL, man. You know, the Cubs are right at the top of the ladder, and they're in second place behind Milwaukee. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. I always like San Diego. They have power, and they always seem like they're stuck behind the Dodgers a little bit. So, you know, those are the races I'm kind of looking at. I still hate the Astros for cheating to win the World Series, so I don't care how they do. I hope they lose. I hold a grudge. I harbor a grudge on that front. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one that's fair, because so many people are going to watch that and remember what happened and how it kind of fell out in the process. People still bring up the cheaters from the steroid era, right? And there's still people that dislike certain players from the way that was handled. Yeah. So people don't forget. I'm with you. And yeah, I mean, the Padres, I've got a soft spot for them being a Chargers fan. You know, they lost the Chargers, but I still hope for the San Diego Padres to find their way. It's just such a tough path getting through the Dodgers. But yeah, that's another good one for sure. Did you happen to see the mock-up for potential MLB realignment if they were to get two more teams and having four divisions in each league, four teams per? Did you see that?
No, I did not see that. What was the shakeup like?
Well, it's kind of interesting. So, you know, the Blue Jays would be in, this is from Fox Sports, they had the AL Great Lakes. So the Blue Jays would be with Milwaukee, which would be great right now. And then you also had Detroit and Minnesota in there. But the AL Northeast would be a fun division. Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Phillies.
Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Phillies. Oh, boy, that's first of all, a really good division. And because they're all big money teams, that's almost unfair to put them in the same division. I don't love the Blue Jays division. Like, those aren't sexy teams for me, the Tigers. And who are they with? Cleveland and Milwaukee?
Milwaukee and then Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. So, meh. Don't love that. I mean, four-team divisions. Is that really what we're doing? Why are we doing that? So what do we have? 16 aside, 32 teams? That's what we would have then?
That's what they would be doing, yeah.
Okay, like, I don't know. I'm good with 2 8-team divisions, you know, sort of like hockey is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, listen, it's all out the window. I mean, you don't even have to be very old to remember the days when interleague play didn't exist.
Yeah.
Now, I don't even know what their rotation is, but every time I turn the TV on, it's two teams playing each other from different leagues. So I don't know how this would work, but upon first blush, I don't think I love that alignment so much.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Like the NL, they call it the NL Southwest, Dodgers, Padres, Angels, and then you have the Diamondbacks in there as well. And your Cubbies in this mock-up, it would be the Cubs, Sox, Cards, and Reds. So some good ballparks to check out if you were kind of touring with that team or that division. It'd be some really good ones there. Mark Spector of Rogers Sportsnet joining us here on the Jason Greger Show. And now, Speck, we're just 2 days away from the Edmonton Elks looking to make it three straight when they take on the Ottawa Red Blacks, a 5:30 start on Friday. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this, you know, earlier on in the week, but just kind of building up that chemistry with Cody Fajardo and, you know, what he's been able to do. Do you expect them to maybe open up the playbook a little bit more as the season goes on? Because as much as the success, you know, that Justin Rankin has had out of the backfield and even as a receiver, I think there's still times where I'm thinking, you know, maybe it'd be okay to test the opposing safety and take some shots downfield.
Well, I mean, a couple things. First of all, it's been a long time since this organization found something that worked. And now we're talking about changing it, right? I'm not sure that I move off of making Rankin my, you know, one, I guess, my feature player in my offense until the other team stops me. You know, if if I can beat Ottawa and Rankin has another 173 yards over total yards or something like that,
yeah,
I'll do it again and say, hey, we won three in a row. Like, I get it. At some point, you got to spread it out, and at some point, you got to the ball's got to go a little deeper. You got to pass more. But I hear all that stuff. But this is a team. When's the last time the Elks won three in a row, man? How far back do we have to go? Have they ever won three in a row, the Elks?
I wonder if they did it last year, because they did win two straight against the Stamps, right? They swept the Labor Day matchup there. I'll have to take a look here quickly and see if I can find it.
I don't know, but the point would be, you know, this isn't a team that can look at a winning formula and go, okay, let's change it for the sake of change. I think you dig in on Rankin, for me, against Ottawa, and you make Ottawa, right, make you change your game plan a little bit, because I'll tell you what, the Argos couldn't stop that Rankin feature back game plan. They couldn't stop it. Why should Ottawa be able to stop it? Their defense isn't a whole lot better, I don't think.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, I mean, I tweeted it out during the game last week. I'd be giving this guy 30 touches. Just the way he is every time the ball's in his hand. He's electric. Taking some shots downfield, I wouldn't have an issue with either. But I also think that Cody Fajardo, being such a veteran quarterback in this league, he knows when and when not to take those chances. So he'll probably take what the defense gives him. But I'd just like to see the field just stretched out a little bit. We see it all the time against the Elks teams taking those shots. But it feels like there might be a little bit of hesitancy to do so. Fajardo knows so much more about football than I do. So I'll trust his decision-making.
You know, and we all know that when a team gets, you know, when a defense gets run-focused, that's exactly when you put the ball downfield, right? When they start to, you know, when their DBs maybe get a little closer to the run, their linebackers are playing the run, that Fajardo's going to see that when he walks to the line of scrimmage. He's an experienced, smart quarterback. He knows when to audible. He knows what to audible to. So I hear you. You know, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not telling Cody Fajardo, you know, how to run his offense. He's been doing it for a long time. They say he's very good at it. He'll know when the time is right to move off the run and to take some shots.
Just going back here, August 3rd to the 17th, they beat the Rough Riders, Lions, and the Ticats. So less than a year ago.
So they have won 3 years.
Yeah, but after a super slow start, unfortunately didn't help their playoff push too much, as we're joined by Mark Spector here on the Jason Greger Show. Spec, we also, in the oil report, talked a little bit about the Oilers, and there's an article out there just kind of talking about how it's tough to win in the NHL, paying for players so much of their salaries. And I would argue that the Edmonton Oilers have been so close. They've done a really good job filling out that roster. But McDavid, Drysdale, Darnell Nurse, and Evan Bouchard are taking up quite a big chunk of the cap. Do you think that, you know, Evan Bouchard getting this pay raise really hurts them that much with their roster?
Well, I mean, no, because you're signing a guy that could well be an Olympic Team Canada defenseman. So, like, let's reverse engineer this. Are you telling me that it's a bad idea to keep Evan Bouchard on your team?
Exactly. Like, yeah.
I don't want to hear that. So, yeah, are you telling me we all know the elephant in the room is the one guy making that big dollar is Darnell Nurse, who you could probably pay someone to do his job a little bit less. I get all that. But you want Drysdale, you want McDavid, you want Bouchard. So, you know, I would say this to you. If Stan Bowman, you know, if this team doesn't win a Stanley Cup this year, it may be time to take a look at some things and maybe change what has been considered the norm around here. And that could affect Darnell Nurse. There were rumors that the Oilers were asking him if they could shop him a little bit last year. I don't know if that's true or not. I have a feeling it wasn't. But I do know this, Connor. His contract does open up over time here, and he does have to submit a certain size of no trade list. I haven't looked it up lately. I forget what the number is. But, you know, maybe you have to clear 9.25 somehow. Maybe that's a decision they come to. At this point, I don't think that's what's been costing them the Stanley Cup is having those four guys, has it?
No, and I mean, yeah, what's the alternative? Like, you're not going to pay these guys? Like you said, the Darnell Nurse contract, I think everybody would agree a couple less million would probably help them out a little bit and maybe more deserve. But, yeah, Evan Bouchard, we saw how good he was in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Same with McDavid and Drysdale. Like, you'd rather have those guys and pay them than not have them. So it's kind of what you have to do. It's interesting. I'm kind of intrigued to see how this season goes down and, you know, how those guys elevate their game and when the McDavid contract comes in. And I do believe, but I thought that Darnell Nurse had a little bit of a a meme posted on his Instagram story one time when that report was going out there. So kind of indicating that that didn't happen. And I mean, it probably goes as far as, hey, Darnell, would you waive it? He says no. And then the conversation ends right there. So I couldn't see any reason he would.
I don't even think that they ask. You know, that's a big ask. And a GM wouldn't do that lightly. Like, he would, I would think that, I don't think it ends like that. I don't think you just go to Darnell and one day offhandedly and say, hey, mind if we waive you or trade you? Like, I don't think it works that way. First of all, you do it through the agent. But, you know, does the time come? I don't know. Maybe the time comes. You can't always be the same. Like, they've been such a good team, going to the Cup 2 years in a row. There's not a lot to argue with there, right? They've been a couple of games away from winning two Stanley Cups. But you can't, if it doesn't, that Stanley Cup, if you don't win it, you can't keep coming back with the same recipe. You do have to look at your thing and say, well, I know we're close, but close isn't why we're here. We're here to win, and maybe we got to change something.
Yeah, and I mean, that the elephant in the room on the other side of the league, the Florida Panthers, they're keeping that group together for another run here. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this season. It'll be a lot of fun, and we're still weeks away before we really dig into it. So enjoy the rest of your day, Speck. Are you done building it, or are you
I've got the structure of the desk built. Now I'm putting together drawers, so I don't think I can screw the drawers up too bad. But my fear is you go to put them in, and you have all those little rails upside down, and it's like, oh, man.
So best of
luck.
Yeah, we'll check in tomorrow to make sure you did it. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and thanks for joining us.